Turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I go in and give you a heads up. Next week, I'm going to begin a series of messages, probably throughout the month of January, entitled Beating the Blahs. Beating the Blahs, because, you know, January can be like that, right? Short days, gray skies, cold temperatures, that after Christmas letdown. So a series of messages from different parts of Scripture, but today is a standalone message. I always think about what special sermon can we bring at the end of a year, at the beginning of the new year, and my mind and heart were geared to Joshua. We're on the precipice of something new. When we get to Joshua, we're through with the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as written by Moses, and we get to a watershed moment. Under the leadership of Moses, the children of Israel had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years after their escape from Egypt. And remember, they're on the precipice of entering into the promised land. They're on the threshold, but there is a new leader. Moses has passed on. His right-hand man, Joshua, has taken over. There is a new land. In fact, in that book of Joshua, 87 times that book, land, is mentioned. Why is that so important? Because the book of Joshua is an account of conquering and claiming Canaan. There's also a new life. This is a physical pilgrimage. This is a physical pilgrimage where they wandered their way through the promise, the wilderness, and made it to the promised land. And you can read about that. Most of you are familiar with that and all of the things that took place over that period of 40 years. But it's also symbolic of a spiritual pilgrimage. When someone passes on or we sing a song at their funeral, how many gospel songs have you heard about that picture of crossing the Jordan into the promised land? It is a physical pilgrimage. It is also a spiritual pilgrimage. It is a spiritual pilgrimage of going from lostness into new life in Christ. And I'm going to read these nine verses, great verses. Some of them are very inspiring. I think they will be for you as we enter in to a new year. Now, it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan. That's the title of the sermon, by the way. Taken from the text, cross this Jordan. That's God's word for all of us in this sanctuary, many listening online today. Cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with you, just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, in Christ's name, amen. Just as review, to put this account into context, the children of Israel are on the banks of the Jordan preparing to cross over into the promised land. Thousands of years later, here we are gathered here in this sanctuary, the last Sunday of 2020, preparing to embark upon a new year. And my challenge to you is, cross your Jordan. How do we do that? Well, there are at least four ways outlined in this passage of Scripture. If you're going to cross the Jordan into a new year, a great year that God has planned for us, then you need to understand the commands of Christ. God's command to Joshua, again, is arise, cross your Jordan. And as I look at this verse, I couldn't help but think back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Remember when the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said, go forth from your country. And then I thought ahead to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, where Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You see, when it gets right down to it, when you simplify the matter, there are two goals that we should have as believers. One is sanctification. We should desire every day to be more and more like Christ. That's a good word. Don't run from that word. Sometimes people are a little by these religious-sounding words, but it's a wonderful biblical word, sanctification. The process of pulling away from the world and becoming more and more like Jesus. So that's one half of our task. You know what the other half is? Multiplication. Multiply ourselves. Gather in more people into the fold. I want to tell you, folks, you may not think so based on everything you're hearing from the secular media. You may not think so when you hear church attendance is down and giving is down and people are drowning in the blahs. What I want to tell you, people are more open to the message of the gospel ever before. They're wide open because everything else they've tried has not worked. And it is our job to go out and spread the word. That's what multiplication is all about. Notice I did not say addition. I said multiplication because you reach two and they reach two and they reach two. That's not addition. That's multiplication. And so, if we want to make this the best year yet, we're going to cross our Jordan. We're going to understand the commands of Christ. So this is a great time. This is a great time. The sun is shining. The skies are blue. We're gathered here. You have some time to think and reflect. So think of it as rebooting. Think of it as retooling. Think of it as reevaluating. I know sometimes, you know, if I'm not a techno genius, so if something doesn't work, Mike, you know what I do? I unplug it and then plug it back in again. That's the first thing I do. I unplug it and I plug it back in again. I turn it off and I turn it back on again. So that's a challenge for us right now, is it not? Unplug. Unplug. And then plug back in, understanding the commands of Christ. Cross your Jordan. Don't just sit there on the bank and dip your little toe in the water and say, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I just can't make it. The water is too deep. It's going to be over my head. God will lead you through it. You can do it, not by yourself, with his help. Cross your Jordan. Secondly, grasp the promises of God. Oh, I love this so much. I'm not going to read the verses again. I may just read parts of them, but there are three promises of God. You know, incidentally, the Bible is full of hundreds of promises from God. Some fulfilled, some yet to be fulfilled. If he promised it, it will be fulfilled. But he made at least three promises to Joshua and the people as they prepared to cross. One was victory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Can you imagine that? Victory guaranteed in advance. Jim, think about this. Just picture Georgia playing Alabama for the SEC championship, okay? That's happened before. It may happen again someday. Can you imagine an angel of the Lord appearing before the coach saying, "Kirby, I guarantee you, you're going to win. Victory has already been secured." That doesn't happen that way in football life, does it? It's a tough road to hoe, but it happens that way in the spiritual life. I don't think we realize that, but that's exactly what's happened in the spiritual life. Victory has already been secured. I remember back in the days, I don't hear it anymore, but when I was in high school and, you know, I love sports, I still do. Remember that cheer? We have any former cheerleaders here, by the way? Don't be embarrassed. Oh, you got to put your hand up longer than that. I saw a hand. Anybody else? Remember the cheer? V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's the Eagle battle cry. Did you do that? V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. That's the Eagle battle cry. Or the Bears, or the Lions, or the Tigers. Victory. We're winners. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, Satan was whipped. We are winners. Victory has been secured. And he's going to finish the job. One day, as we sang about earlier, those skies are going to unfold. He's going to come back on a white horse with a sword protruding from his mouth, gathered along with the saints and the angels to secure victory over the enemies of God's people. Victory has been guaranteed. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There's something else intriguing as well. Territory. Now, this is a sermon within itself, and I want to tell you, this is something I've become more and more interested as the years have gone by. The territory that has been promised to Israel, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the great river Euphrates, the land, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. Now, something great and wonderful happened in 1948, when Israel became a state once again. And I want to tell you, that's subject matter for a different series of sermons. But I want to tell you, as time has gone on and on in my Christian pilgrimage, that's something I've become more and more interested in. God's promise to Israel, God's promise to the people, the promise of the land, and never underestimate that promise. More about that later. Also, the promise of security. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. I know it's been a tough year. I'm ready for a new year. I'm ready to put this year behind us. But I know as I look out that God will not fail. God will not forsake me. God will not forsake. There was a ship, like that one Chip and the band sang about earlier. There was a ship that was crossing the Atlantic, and it encountered huge storms, and it was very dangerous. And an elderly man noticed a young boy sitting by himself calmly on the deck, and he said, "Little man, you know, aren't you worried? Aren't you scared? You're all by yourself in this dangerous storm." And he said, "No, sir. See that man up there on the upper deck? That's the captain of the ship. And not only is he captain of the ship, that man is my father. He's taken ships through many storms like this before. He's going to take this ship through this storm. And thus they did. They arrived safely days later on the other side. God is the captain of the ship. God is our father. God will see that we are secure. He's able. He's there. These things we're going through, they're nothing new to him. These things happen, and he is there with us. But you say, preacher, you say all of those things. You stand up there and proclaim those things. It all sounds good, but I just don't feel it. I just don't feel it. Well, I want to tell you, that's where faith kicks. You come to the point where you don't feel it, you let faith kick in. Because the Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things unseen. Let me say that again. The assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things unseen. We're going to get through this COVID mess. We're going to come out stronger on the other side. You know, one of my prayers is, God, whatever I need to learn through this, please, may I learn it. Don't let this whole process be wasted. I don't want to miss what it is you wanted to teach me throughout this. You know, whatever I'm supposed to learn, I want to learn. And I know one thing ever, you know what one thing is? Patience. It's tough. It's tough. Tough for me, maybe for you. Grasp the promises of God. Can you do that? Grasp the promises. Talked about three. There are hundreds. The Bible contains hundreds. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. That's a promise from God. But we're not done. I've got about 15 more minutes to go, and other good stuff is on the way. You ready for this? I always in the past have always somehow tried to preach a sermon as we enter into the new year on the Word of God. There's something about a sermon on the Word of God, from the Word of God. And I thought, well, I didn't preach a whole sermon on it, but it is a point here. Delight in the Word of God. You want to cross your Jordan? I want to tell you what, there's no way you're going to cross that Jordan unhindered or unscathed without grasping, without delighting in God's Word. Look at verses 7 and 8. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all of the law of Moses. What did they have at this point? Boy, now we have, you know, this beautiful Bibles. I bet you've got 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 at home. Then they didn't. This was pre-printing press, right? What did they have? They had the first 5 books written and scratched out on scrolls. But praise God, they had that, right? The first 5 books of the Bible, the book of the law, the Pentateuch. But I want you to think about, as you look at this verse, think about this Bible that you have on your phone or you hold in your hand or you're listening to or whatever it might be. Now, there again, I could say 100 things. I'm just going to say 2 things. One is meditate. One is, verse 8 says, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know what that word means? That word means to mutter. That word means to make a public reading, if you will. Remember when Nehemiah led the rebuilding of the wall in 52 days? That was amazing. But it's also amazing what happened after that. They held a celebration, and Ezra stood up and read from the book of the law. And what happened? The people wept, didn't they? They fell under great conviction. Nehemiah said, don't weep. The joy of the Lord shall be your strength. But there was a reading, there was a meditating upon the Word of God. And it's not only corporate, but it's private as well. Meditate. I want to tell you, I haven't decided what I'm going to do. I've been one of those people years and years ago. Somebody, a mentor of mine, said every preacher ought to read through the Bible at least once a year. So I've done that with the exception of a year or two for many, many years. And you know, I haven't decided yet, Mike. I don't know. I haven't decided what I'm going to do, because the danger, if you have never done that, do it. Run out somewhere, get you a copy of a read. You just follow a plan. That's something everybody ought to do at least once in their life, isn't it? But the danger of it is you can sort of just zip through it and miss the meat. Let me give you a little story to tell you what I mean. There was a druggist, a pharmacist in a small rural town. He was a money-hungry kind of guy, wanted to just make money, and that was his life goal. So he bought the pharmacy from an elderly man who had died, and his family had sold it. And so he bought that, and people would come in, and, you know, doctors would write prescriptions, and, you know, he didn't take any time to see what stock he had. So doctors would come in, and no matter what they prescribed, he just said, "Ah, you don't need that. I got something here that, you know," whatever was convenient for him, right? Well, then one day, his son encountered a great sickness. And the doctor said, "There's a rare drug that that young man needs. But not to worry, because I seem to remember somebody had this years ago, and we made sure that your pharmacy has that drug. So that drug exists on the shelves of your pharmacy." The man went back. He looked and he looked and he looked, and guess what? He never found it. He never took the time to acquaint himself with what he had on the shelves of his pharmacy. So while he was looking, the boy passed on. And you say, "Preacher, why did you tell that story?" Because that's really the way it is for many of us in God's Word. We carry it around with us. We talk about it. We listen to it, but really we don't familiarize ourselves with it, right? Meditate upon it. I'm pointing that old thumb back at me, folks. Be sure and know that I'm pointing that thumb back at me. The Holy Spirit saying, "What are you going to do, Todd, in this new year? You got time? You got time to meditate, to ruminate. Do you hear me? I challenge you to do that. I challenge you. Don't just possess it, and don't just proclaim it, but practice it. Let it become part." I want to tell you, you know, one advantage of being 62 and not 22, and I know you young people get tired of hearing that. Old people say, you know, "You'll learn one day, and, you know, you just need to, you know, listen to the wisdom of older people and stuff." But I know one thing, but listening to, and one good thing about reading through the Bible and just, you know, just experiencing life, but reading these things that are going on now, I don't like it. I'm tired of it. I want it to go away. But I'm putting it into biblical and historical perspective. Don't you see? It's a plague. What we're going through is a plague. What we're going through is, I call it biological warfare. Why are you surprised? We're living in enemy-occupied territory. I mean, why would you think things are going to be great and awesome all the time on this fallen world where Satan is the prince of the power of the air? But reading and familiarizing myself with the Word helps put that all in perspective. Mark Twain encountered a ruthless Boston during his travels. The man said, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I'm going to climb Mount Sinai. And when I get up there, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of my voice. I'm going to go to Mount Sinai. I'm going to climb to the top and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top of my voice." You know what Twain said? "I got a better idea. Stay at home in Boston and keep them." Stay at home in Boston and keep them. That's God's word for us. Delight in the word of God. James, man, it was great. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he talked about the word. He said, don't just prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. He looks, he goes away, he has immediately forgotten what he looks like. James had a way of presenting shoe leather Christianity, didn't he? James, the half-brother of Jesus, who didn't come to faith until after the resurrection. Don't just be a hearer of the word only. Be a doer of the word. So meditate and then obey. Be careful to do everything written in it. Because you see, to obey is better than sacrifice. So where are we going? Let's take a little breather. Now we got one more point. It's a short one. You're crossing your Jordan, right? We're on the precipice. We're prepared to go over. You're understanding the commands of God. You're grasping the promises of God. He's already promised victory, territory, security. Third, what's this? You're delighting in the word of God. I challenge you. I beseech you. You're hearing it from me. You're hearing it online. Maybe somebody will hear it through a YouTube message later. Make the word part of your life in 2021 like never before. One final command. Experience God's prosperity and security. Experience God's prosperity. For you do all of these things, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And that bothers some people. They think, preacher, you know, now you're done and gone preaching prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. It may or may not be. I always say it this way. It may or may not be physical prosperity. It may. Everett and I were talking before the service. I mean, by and large, compared to most parts of the world, we're very spoiled people. It may not be that way, but, you know, God's blessed us with physical, but also spiritual prosperity. He came not only that we would have eternal life, but that we have abundant life. Physical, spiritual, however he chooses. But one thing we know for sure, that, you know, he intends, no matter what our bank account says, he intends for us to experience abundant life, doesn't he? Abundant life. Cross your Jordan. We're right there at the edge. We're right there together. The waters are flowing. But I want to submit to you that a great year lies before us. But you're not going to experience it if you just stay on the wilderness side. You got to cross over into the promised land that God has for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that this story of Joshua has been preserved. Oh, Lord, I confess that so many times I lack that necessary courage. I lack that insurance of victory, Lord. Forgive me. Strengthen me, Lord. I pray for every person here that faces that same struggle, Lord. We want to cross that Jordan. Crossroads wants to cross that Jordan into the promised land as a new year unfolds. And we're clinging to you to take us across. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand together as we conclude the service today. I will be here to greet you if you feel so led, but you just listen to the words of the man as we close out this service.